GP. Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for June 25th, 2008. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Bookout.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here.
Director Dean.
Here.
Director Mann.
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item number three, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The board will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the board cannot act on items that are not on the agenda tonight. Would anyone like to address the board at this time? Jeanette.
Hi, Jeanette Padilla. President of the board, president and board members, my name is Jeanette. At the first time we started having the board meetings on TV, I was against. Because the cost, now I'm convinced that is the good thing. This week I was able to see the board meeting. In fact, I watched it more than one time. I could not believe my eyes the way the general manager, Patrick O'Reilly, carry on. His total disrespect to the board and the public is unbelievable. Does he work for the board or you people work for him? I don't think he has the best interest on the residents of Oceano and his plan while he's trying to make a name for himself. He seems he never had an answer but continue blaming his staff or he didn't have time to look at any time. And Pamela, I'm gonna say that for the first time I agree with her that she always say everything that she said is the past. And everything is, well, the people in the past did this. And I...
Public court records. Bill Bucout has received a settlement of $225,000 from POVI. POVI, as well, as we all know, is one of our biggest employers here in Oceano. I wonder what that is going to cost us as residents when we go to buy our fruits and vegetables. I remember when Mr. Bucout was running for office and he told everyone who could listen that he was going to fix the flooding problem on 13th and Front Street. We know that he has gotten a settlement. When are we going to see work starting on fixing the problem that he promised to take care of? For anyone who doesn't keep up on the lawsuits, please remember he still has lawsuits against OCSD, the railroad, the county, and Caltrans. Mr. Bucout has stated that he intends to run for office again this year. We need to look at his voting record. Remember, he can't vote on anything that is within 500 feet of his property. He can't serve on any county advisory boards because he is suing, and he can't vote on any part of our legal bills that deal with him suing us. What good does he do as a board member other than just take a seat and cause trouble?
Thank you. Would anyone else like to address the board at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll close public comment at the moment and move then to administrative items. 4A, Patrick.
Cassie, you want to come up front? I'd like to introduce our newest employee, Cassie Sanchez, and her son, Davey. She's been with us about a month, a little over a month. She's a resident of Oceano. She lives very close to the water yard. She's doing an excellent job, and I just wanted to present you to the board and to the public and welcome you officially.
Thank you. And Cassie, the camera, welcome. Too. We're very,
welcome
glad
aboard.
Very glad to have you here. And We have a, it looks like we have a future employee in the works there.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Item number five is board member items for discussion. Start with Pamela.
I have none at this time.
Bill?
Nope.
Vern? Barbara?
Nothing at this time.
I have just one item. Patrick, I guess, was contacted by Steve Adams and the city of Arroyo Grande to discuss water issues. I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the board. Patrick, you may wish to comment further on that to kind of fill in the board
members
of what's
Steve
going on.
Steve called me last week and suggested a meeting between their mayor and himself and our board president and myself to discuss.
The commission will be meeting from July 9th to, I think, the 11th in the area. And I would plan to attend the opening of that on July 9th, work schedule permitting. So that's just a couple observations of what is happening. Any public comment on that item? Okay, hearing none. We have no minutes this evening on the agenda. Item number seven is reports of department heads. And first would be administrative assistant, Gina.
Routine things. Some of the highlights of the month were completing the recruitment process that where we ended up with Cassie, very fortunately for us. A letter was sent to one of our residents about their need to remove rubble or solid waste from their property that had been accumulating. The paperwork was completed for the annual workers' comp audit. And for the CDBG sewer project on the west side of the railroad tracks, we prepared the declaration of posting regarding a pending permit for the sewer repair project. There are actually approximately 25 locations, and there is a permit for each location. We only have to post one on the window. The rest are available for review in the office if somebody wants to see them individually. We continued working with the fire department on the hazard abatement project. We verified the list that had been submitted so that it was ready for the public hearing in June. And then, of course, we had the book ready to go for the contractor on June 13th. He's completed 99% of it now. We're waiting for his bill to come in so that we can get the bills out to the residents. Then they'll be able to come if they have a problem with their bill at the July 9th meeting here at the office. What else was exciting? We continued the various tasks for meter reading. Like I said, I think last month, there are a lot of changes being made, new owners, a lot that are going to the bank now because of foreclosures, a lot of paperwork, sending the guys out in the field to read the meters, etc. We had some new services that were installed also during the month, and we did the paperwork for those. We coordinated the final inspections between the utility and the fire departments on new drinking water payments. We also do a prepayment for the fiscal year 2009-2010 as part of the rate covenant for the state water project. That's what's helping keep our annual payments below. We won't want them any higher than they are, and it really helps keep it down, spreads the cost. In addition, we did the annual notice to customers. That's in the process of having the stickers on it for the absentee owners. Those will all be mailed out this week to give the water quality to all the residents of Oceano of our water. And we're continuing to facilitate with the fireworks program and the hazard abatement. Is that it?
Thank you very much. Pretty busy month.
Yeah.
Okay, report of utility operations supervisor, Phil.
In the sewer department, in our system, we had one battery reported during the month. And that turned out to be inside a customer's property. In the water department, there were four leaks reported, which the district crew repaired. We had numerous problems with one of our Waukesha engines during the month, and we owe many thanks to a skillful mechanic who worked many late evenings and weekends getting that engine back in service. Other jobs completed during the month were the installation of new water meters at the Avocado Ranch, 48-hour notices reading the water meters, and maintenance on the well 4 and 6 chlorinator. The crew also relocated a water service that was found to be in a very vulnerable location. The crew spent 3 days working on the fire hydrant maintenance program, and because of the high winds and several power failures during the month, the operators had to respond to numerous alarms at both water yards. We had two meetings with the Wallace Group personnel concerning stormwater management project or plan and a proposed sewer line repair project. Two chemists with the U.S. Geological Survey spent a half day collecting and analyzing water samples from well 6. The testing is part of a massive groundwater quality study of the different water basins throughout the state. The annual water department report and the monthly, and it's been a long wait, but the state park has just finished installing a sand trap, matter of fact, within the last few hours, in their sewer lateral for the restroom on Pier Avenue to hopefully we don't get plugged up with sand anymore.
So excellent. That's excellent news.
Yeah.
Okay. Comment or questions from the board on the staff reports? Thanks very much to the mechanics and everybody for keeping everything going, and we appreciate the state park putting in that sand trap. That should help very much with maintenance of the sewer system. We appreciate that. Is there any public comment on the staff reports? Okay, hearing none. Move on to item number 8, fire items. First is item number 8A, no parking signs in the alleys. This is revisiting an action item that the board took a month ago approximately, and at that time I failed to ask for public comment on the item before the vote, so I apologize for that error, and we will reconsider the item this evening. And Patrick, did you want to?
I could just briefly discuss it. The Oceana community has narrow and sometimes bumpy alleys that can restrict access to firefighting equipment. And so there is a provision in the California Vehicle Code that allows local agencies to assign no parking status to alleys. And this resolution does that for all the allows us to assign no parking areas in alleys in Oceano if it's approved.
Okay. I think the board is pretty well familiar with the item.
I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry?
I wasn't here at that meeting. Oh. So I had a couple of questions.
Sure.
Do we have an alley plan for where the signs go and which alleys those go on? Is it? Can you give me an idea of how that's going to work?
Well, how the law states is there needs to be a legal sign at every entrance to the alleys that are designated to be fire lanes. So if you have one in between 19th and 20th, then you'll have to put one on each end, mm-hmm. and then again on 20th to 21st and so forth.
And how many on the west side?
I apologize. I don't have that information with me. There are quite a few. There's almost as many over there as there
is
are on,
right?
on the east
okay.
side.
We have quite a few alleys on the west side that are in non-use, have trees growing in them. They most likely never will be used. That are on paper. You're not going to be putting signs on those alleyways, are you?
If you're referring to like Strandway and
well, there was one behind Air Park by residents that you used to live in. I know mm-hmm. there's a paper alleyway back there.
No, basically any what we're looking at is any issues with access of a fire or fire engine, to where we can either get our fire engine down there or lay enough hose down there to be able to put out a fire. It's primarily for public safety, mainly it's if you have a fire in a residence and you have three cars in between you and the fire, it's going to delay us substantially. So that's what we're trying to prevent.
Good.
And I think some of those were, rather than alleys, I think they were offers of dedication for streets that were probably never accepted.
We have quite a few alleys that are just have never been used.
There's also utility access and whatnot that simply aren't wide enough for a fire engine.
Will you ticket those cars? Will the fire department be the one that tickets the cars, or is it the highway patrol that will ticket cars that are parked in there?
The fire department has no authority to give citations. We've never been given that authority, so it would be the CHP or sheriff's.
And you, the fire department would call, or somebody who sees them
anybody
parking.
Anybody could.
Okay, good. So people who live on the alleyways can watch.
Exactly.
Watch the alleys too. Okay, that sounds good. Thank you.
Other comment or questions from the board?
Do you know what the exact wording is going to be on the signs? Do you know what the exact wording is going to be on those signs?
It'll be a standard California legal no parking fire lane.
So it just will announce a no parking fire lane at the beginning of the alley. Will it say anything that says the entire alley is a no, you know, other than just right by the sign, so people will know that, you know, they get away halfway to the other street, that that's also no parking in there because it's a fire lane, and as opposed to just where the sign is that says no parking fire lane, especially in places where you've got partial pavement into the alley to the first house or second house and then no paving after that. If the sign is clear enough so people will know and be able to realize that it's the entire alley that is no parking, or if it's just a plain.
It's a standard sign, so I mean it wouldn't be any different than on any other roadway that's fire lane.
Okay, we might want to see as time goes on if that becomes an issue or not.
Absolutely.
Craig, it could say no parking between signs.
It could, yeah.
I think sometimes you see it that way.
Any other comment or questions from the board? Comment or questions from the public on this item? Okay, hearing no comment or questions from the public, do we have a motion?
I move that the resolution 2008-09, resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District designating all alleys in the Oceano community as fire lanes.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt resolution 2008-09, designating all alleys in the community as fire lanes. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Mann?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Dean?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Moving to item number 9, utility items, cleaning and inspection of district sewer and water lines. This is the continuing disclosure of the emergency declared by this board following the San Simeon earthquake regarding cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water mains. I think the board is well familiar with the item. Is there any public comment on this item at this time? Hearing none, we have a motion.
I move that we continue the cleaning and inspection of the district sewer and water lines.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we continue the disclosure of the emergency regarding district sewer and water mains. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Both of those businesses are small, rent-controlled, senior mobile home parks, providing relatively low-cost housing to senior citizens. The letters request that the district provide water to the parks at the least expensive option available. In 2003, the City of Aurora Grande entered into a temporary agreement with both mobile home parks to provide temporary water service since the wells in their park were failing. The parks require a total of approximately 8 acre-feet a year. The parks are actually located in the county, but are in the sphere of influence of the City of Aurora Grande. Because the parks are not in the city, the local agency formation commission had to approve the agreement as an outside user agreement. The agreements were for 5 years and have expired now, but Aurora Grande continues to provide water until the two parks can find an alternate source. The following options exist that I'm aware of to resolve the mobile home park water needs. First, the parks could upgrade the wells and operate those wells again. The problem with that is the requirement for monitoring the quality of the water, and that's very expensive, and it's also there's a lot of potential liability in there for a small park. The second option is to give credit to the City of Aurora Grande under the gentleman's agreement under the assumption that the water no longer being pumped by the mobile home parks would be pumped by the City of Aurora Grande, and there would be a net zero impact on the water table. However, several members or parties to the gentleman's agreement have objected to that solution, so that's really not available. The third option is to have the parks annexed to the City of Aurora Grande and continue getting water from the City of Aurora Grande. However, the City of Aurora Grande has a policy that they won't annex new housing if it doesn't bring its own water. Since the parks don't have any water, that doesn't seem like a viable alternative. A fourth alternative, the parks could remain in the sphere of influence of the City of Aurora Grande, and OCSD, the district, could sell water to the city for the parks. The existing agreement between the parks and the City of Aurora Grande would remain in place, and this is the simplest and the option that is requested actually by the parks themselves. The last option is to have the parks annexed into the sphere of influence of the district, Oceano Community Services District. City of Aurora Grande adds a wheeling charge to that, to the water charge. So there's a water charge, our admin charge, and the wheeling charge. So it's a little bit more expensive. Actually, it can be substantially more expensive than us just selling water to Aurora Grande and let them sell it, continue to sell it to the parks. The second alternative, if they annex into the district, is to require them to actually have pipe installed from our district water system to the parks, and that would be a very substantial expense to the park owners and eventually the park residents if we were to require that. So those are the options. We're not under any obligation to take any action at all, but the park owners ask that the board consider some alternative so that they could receive water from the district.
Okay, comment or questions on the staff report?
Well, I have a question about sphere of influence, mm-hmm. and I don't feel comfortable wheeling water if they are not willing to come under our sphere of influence. That okay. seems to be, I think that should happen. I mean, we could still wheel the water through the pipelines, but having them be within Aurora Grande's sphere of influence could be, I don't feel that's right. I don't know how hard it is to get that changed or if they even want to change that. It didn't seem that the owners wanted to change that.
I think my discussions with the owners is that they are willing to do that. There's a small administrative expense and it takes a few months, but not a long time. But if that's the option they have, they're willing to do it.
I have no idea what Ms. Dean just said. So can you sum
up? She basically said that she didn't feel like the district should sell water to somebody who was not in our sphere of influence, so she supported requiring them to be in the sphere of influence, and then asked what the process was for them to do that.
Thank you.
I will speak up.
I would like to see maybe the water committee involved a little bit with this, too.
Okay.
Would you prefer just go to the water committee and then come back to the board?
think that might be an idea. It's what committees are for.
Be fine with me.
I know you're on it.
Oh, okay. Well, either way.
I agree with Pamela, though, also on what she said, but I would like the Water and Sewer Committee to have some input into that.
To bring them into our district, where would we run water from? Would we run it through Christmas Tree Lane Grill to get piping over there?
Well, we already have a main in-house.
We do have one in-house in? So it's not really that. They'd have to go under House End Road to ultimately to get water over there.
Yes.
Other than that, that would be their main expense.
Then
it's substantial. It's substantial.
We're almost to the Temple. We're on the corner of Temple and Hiawatha. That's where our line stops.
Okay. So they would have to go from there a couple hundred feet and then under
more
Highway 1? More than that?
Yeah.
It's about 500 or 600 feet, is my understanding.
Well, how expensive is that for them? I mean, I imagine
things have got. It's expensive.
Is it?
It is expensive.
They could still come into our sphere of influence, but still be wielded through Arroyo Grande, though. Also, right?
That's another option. Yes.
And that, you know, to me, ultimately, that would bring income to us for our water department.
Right.
And as everyone's been talking amongst this board, there's potential we're going to have to raise water rates, and this might be a way for us to eliminate some of those the drasticness of raising those rates.
I guess another concern would we have a wheeling agreement with one of the subdivisions. What would be the impact on admin if we have to do wheeling? Because that involves pass-through costs and collecting money and passing it through and so forth. That would seem to have an impact on the administrative staff.
There is, and that's why there's an administrative charge of, I think it's $7.20 each billing period. So that's about $185 a year per user in admin fees that we would collect.
Would that be per park or per resident of the park?
It's per bill.
It would be per customer. It's really not a big task because the city of Arroyo Grande crew actually reads the meter and calls us. Then we calculate it. They give us the wheeling charge, and then it just goes on their regular bill.
Okay.
How many units are over there?
There's a
question. That's why I was suggesting the water committee deal with some of these.
Okay, well, let's then request that we have a Water and Sewer Committee meeting and consider the various options, and maybe the owners would have more input to the committee then also.
Okay.
Item number 10 then, administrative items. 10A is committee assignments, discussion of committee assignments. Patrick?
At the last board meeting, an ad hoc committee was appointed to consider alternatives to the way committees are assigned. The ad hoc committee consisted of Director Dahl and Director Dean. That committee met on June the 19th and came up with a list of recommendations, and I think Director Dahl is going to discuss those. I have a copy of the minutes of that meeting I can pass out.
Thank you.
If these are the recommendations, shouldn't they have been in our packet for us to look at them ahead of time?
I just managed to finish them up today. I've been working on the budget primarily.
Okay. Vern, did you want to add to this then?
No, this is basically covers what happened at the meeting. Basically, we looked at you know, what the committees were and how they're, you know, how they're, they fall within the district is their importance and so, and we felt that there were certain committees that were core committees. And we defined what those core committees were, basically finance, fire, and personnel, along with the sanitation plant. And we felt that all directors should be involved in those every year. And so we looked at what that would look like came up with some.
The current year will be changed in accordance with these revised rules as soon as possible, considering the first 6 months of the year to be the same as the previous year. And gee, if I remember correctly, at the last meeting, Director Dean was saying, oh, this would only be effective in the new year with the new board. That's one point. So I see that the thoughts now has changed. And then my second comment is, when you are saying a core committee is the sanitation board, and yet in our bylaws it says the president will be assigned to that. So that's contradictive. And also, a couple of months ago, when we wanted to change the rules about how we selected a president, that it rotated and wasn't a personality contest, we all agreed on that. And a month later, members in this board came back and said, oh, no, let the new board decide what happens. So to me, I'm wondering, why don't we wait and let a new board decide what they want to do?
Yep.
There is an election coming up. There can be at least one or if not two different people sitting up here, and they might not want to do this. I mean, I don't care if we do it, if that's what floats your boat, but I think doing it in the middle of the year is a mistake. And I don't like the way things change. You know, you're constantly, oh, when I like it this way, and then next week I like it this way, and then the third week I like it someplace else. I don't know where this board's coming from or where it's going.
Okay, I would like to read what the minutes say so that everybody out there knows what we talked about. I don't think Vern went through some of it, but I think everybody should know what we talked about at the committee. And what our discussion says was the committee felt that more directors needed to be involved in the core committees of the district and felt the following changes to the rules of order would accomplish that objective. The defined core committees were finance, fire, personnel committees, and representation on the sanitary district board. The requirement was that every director be assigned to at least one core committee, and that no director, the requirement is also that no director can serve on more than two, and the president still appoints members for each year in January based on written requests from each director. However, the committee assignments for the current year will be changed in accordance with these new revised rules as soon as possible, considering the first 6 months of the year to be the same as a previous year. What I didn't want to see was that our president would resign his committee assignments and have somebody take over his committee assignments. That was not my intent. My intent was to make all of the changes. The changes are set forth in format that would be included in amended rules to order, and those are written down here. It may be that you wish to review those and bring them back to the next meeting, but I feel that this is a much more fair way to assign committees, especially core committees that only certain people have been assigned to for many, many years. And when I spoke last time, I mentioned that Vern Dahl has never been on the fire committee in all his years sitting on the board. I don't think that's right. I think people need to get training in all areas of the work of this CSD, and this is the best way to do it, and to rotate them around. So that's the thinking behind what this presentation is.
At the last meeting, we appointed an ad hoc committee, Director Dahl and Director Dean, to review this. Having looked at the minutes here and seeing what I'm reading here, they've done a great job. I'm very impressed with this, and I want to thank them.
I would also like to thank the committee for their activities. I'm confused about the last recommendation, which talks about considering the first 6 months of the year to be the same as the previous year. I don't understand what that means. Perhaps the committee can explain that.
I think for purposes of rotation, that's we wanted to change those committee assignments. Yes, in this instance, yes.
If one committee needs somebody continuing on there, it's certainly the Sand District. When Vern was on there, he knows that. He was on there more than 1 year, and it was important.
I was only on 1 year.
I thought it was more than 1 year. And I don't remember you ever asking to be on the fire committee. It was, I could be wrong.
Currently, what's the finance committee is who?
President Hill and Director Mann.
Fire committee is?
President Hill and Director Mann.
Personnel committee?
President Hill and Director Dean.
Okay. And then sanitation would be President Hill.
President Hill, right.
That's why that it seemed that since I was on a preponderance of the so-called core committees here, that I would be willing to give up my seat on those three committees such that the other directors would have, obviously that would meet all of the objectives that are spelled out here. Each director would have at least one. No director would be on more than two. That would seem to meet all the objectives.
That's not what we're asking. We're asking to change or amend the rules of order so that it is changed in the future. Mm-hmm.
So is it your desire then to come back with a proposed change to the rules of order?
We do have the proposed change to the rule of order, or we do not.
There was a draft.
Okay,
but
we
it's
have a draft.
Not, yeah, it's not ready.
We could come back with the changed rules. And we'd like to have our counsel, Alex Seamus, look at those too.
Okay, so the item then this evening is the report of the ad hoc committee. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there a public comment on this item? Jeanette?
Jeanette Padilla. Really, really, I'm having a hard time understanding some of you. This really sounds like to me like a circus. You guys, there's some of the boards that they always, President, she has a long, long way to go. If anything, I feel myself, she has a lot to learn. And I think myself, this board, not all of you guys, but some of this board acting like little kids without control. Enough is enough. Let's start doing something good for Oceano. It's always about what some of you can get to yourselves. Enough of that. I don't know if this is the proper time to say what I'm going to say, and let me know, please. Stop me if it's not the right time. But the last meeting, Bill, he was very upset because suppose that Barbara had said that she had, I believe, more experience, and Bill got offended for that. Well, the way I feel myself is, please, Barbara has all the experience. She's been on the board, and she does have the experience. There is no way in this world that any of you can compare to Barbara. Enough of this little kid stuff.
Thank you.
One more time, I have to say that I did not say that I had more experience. I said everyone has expertise in some areas. I watched the tape. Bill, you might want to watch the tape.
Absolutely, you are completely right. Yes, I watched that meeting over and over. You had never said that you had more experience. You said that some of you guys have different expertise in whatever things you guys do. Barbara never said that. But I'm saying myself, Barbara has a lot of experience. Some of you, I'm sorry, but you have no experience. A lot of times you guys don't know what to say like me. But I'm going to say she does have a lot of experience. And I feel myself that some of you maybe are jealous.
Thank you, Jeanette. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay, so I presume then we'll have another meeting of the ad hoc committee to proceed with this item?
We can, if you'd like, yeah. And then we'll, you want it on the next agenda, is it?
Second, 24th, there's some tree debris in the alleyways where our fire truck, I think, is going to have a hard time getting through. Greg, you might be able to comment on that. We need to take a better look at our alleyways, make sure it's safe for our fire department to get through them. One of the comments tonight was there was bumps in the alleyways and getting through bumps. So some of the road alleyways are going to need some sort of grading to make sure our fire trucks can get through them safely. There's debris in our alleyways. I believe that's also over there by where the tree is there, Greg, if you're not familiar with that. We say that the alleyways are owned by the residents. Well, they're actually owned by all of us. It's owned by the district. It's part of the district. We don't own them, the district. But the thing is, we have to serve them for fire department. So if our fire engines break down going through an alleyway, have trouble going through an alleyway in a call, we need to make sure that the alleyways are clear for our fire department to go through the alleyways. And I think the only way we can do this is use our fire department authority, and maybe Craig can comment on that.
Well, Bill, as far as trees overgrowing into the alleyways, that is the resident's responsibility. And as far as us owning the alleyways, we really don't. It's actually owned by the property owner to the center line. And so therefore, it is the owner's responsibility of those houses to keep those alleyways clear. What we can do as a governing agency is write them a letter saying, you know, we value our community. We hope you do as well. And if there's any way that we can assist you, you know, in physically moving this stuff, we're more than willing to do that. But it is ultimately their responsibility to remove any debris or issues with the blocking the alleyways. As far as the grading goes, I've been through pretty much every alley in here in a fire truck, and they're made to hit some rough terrain. I don't think we have anything right now where the actual alleyway or roadway would disable a fire engine. Yeah, it's going to be a rough ride, and you may have to go a little bit slower through them, but it's not going to stop us.
Go ahead, Jim.
Craig was mentioning the letters to only one instance where we actually had to have somebody go out and do it. Once they're made aware of it, they've all been very, very responsive.
Yeah.
And I think that is the thing, that people have to be aware that they own the alleyways. If they're adjacent to it, they own to the center of the alleyways, and it really is a property owner responsibility to keep those open, which makes sense because you have to get in there to fight fires, and it could be a disaster if we didn't have those open. So just letting people know that these are owned by the residents of abutting the alleys, and they are owned to the center line of the alley by each owner. And it is your responsibility as property owner to clean those alleyways.
And I couldn't agree more. That's the main thing that we're trying to stress, is that it is your responsibility, and it's for your safety. So, and usually people are pretty responsive to that. That, okay, yeah, I see what you're saying. Let me go ahead and take care of that.
That's good to hear. So they just need to know.
A little information.
A little bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A little information and some background on why we request that, and they usually jump right on it.
Now, are the letters something that we can continue to do, or is that,
we have been,
an added too much burden
no,
to what you're doing?
No, we have been. Captain Bove is our prevention captain, so he's primarily handling that. Captain Leathers is also assisting him with that. We all have our own little duties, and they're the two primary on that. And then if something comes up while I'm on shift, I either will handle it or refer it to one of them.
Is it something that we could report a certain alleyway needed to be looked into here? When you're giving your reports or something like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just to let people know that alleyway is particularly, has some particular problems that would be an obstruction to emergency vehicles.
Yeah.
That could be an added thing if you happen to see, like, the debris, mm-hmm. or the rubble or things throwing in the alleyways that you were talking about, Bill.
Is it possible, I know our water bills, we now have a section where we can do a memo in the water bill to our residents. Could we add some sort of note, you know, in the next couple months, stating, you know, ownership of the alleyways and debris in the alleyways, also possibly
the alley, such that any dumping or something like that that is on private property that reflects back on the owner of the adjacent property. So we would certainly ask for being good stewards of the environment and good stewards of the community, that we do not participate in dumping of anything in the alleyways. And if you see someone dumping something in the alleyways, please call the sheriff's department, as that is certainly an illegal activity. Okay. Did you want to say anything else about it, Bill?
No.
Is there any comment from the public on this item?
Hello, my name is Maria. I have a concern. Will you guys be sending letters in Spanish or just English? Because I'm pretty sure that we have a lot of Spanish-speaking people that don't read or understand English, and then they're going to be fine for something that they don't even know.
That's an excellent comment.
Will they be bilingual so they could get the information they need?
We can certainly arrange to make any notice, yes, properly in Spanish and English.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, hearing none, then we'll move on to item number 10C, the codification project. District Legal Counsel will give us an update concerning status of the project to codify district ordinances and regulations.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. You have a staff report attached. There's a relatively brief narrative and then a set of documents. I'll read the staff report for the benefit of the public, but the document set attached is fairly lengthy. In April, the district board requested that my office commence codification of the district's ordinances and applicable resolutions. Because of anticipated timing issues, it was agreed that the work would commence this month. This report is to provide the board with an interim status report and obtain some guidance on certain policy issues regarding the project. The procedures that were used were to commence by analyzing the district's ordinance and resolutions to determine the broad categories of matters to be covered. A survey was also taken of other public agencies to determine how they organize their codes. This work, along with preliminary drafting, was performed by Sean Torres of my office. Attached to the report is Exhibit A. You'll find a 9-page doc. If you compare the sample pages to the adopted ordinance 2001-1, you'll see some inconsistencies. Please keep in mind that as the code is organized, there are some old ordinance parts that will be assigned to different sections. Some of those sections have not been drafted yet, so there are many parts of Ordinance 2006-1 which have not been inserted. See also the policy question for guidance below that I'll talk about in a minute. Also, please keep in mind that drafting this document involves attempting to anticipate how other sections ultimately will relate and a desire to use consistently defined terms and formatting. That also required some text changes. Finally, please keep in mind that as we work backwards through the district's ordinances, we may find additional, still operative provisions in older ordinances that may have to be incorporated. Three, we anticipate that the board will want to use this codification project as an opportunity to make some substantive changes to its ordinances. While we can certainly discuss those substantive items at this time, the bulk of that discussion should be deferred until we can provide you with a complete draft so you can see as a whole how the various document sections interplay. There's a couple of policy questions for guidance that I wanted to address with you tonight and get some guidance from you so that we can decide how to go from here. The codification project necessarily involves making organizational decisions. There are a couple on which we'd like some guidance from the board. One, codes generally handle fee schedules in one or the other of two ways. A, one method is to state the fees in the section associated with the applicable matter. For instance, fees for reopening an existing water service would be found in a set of sections regarding that type of matter, while fees associated with establishing a new water service would be found in a separate set of sections dealing with new water connections. Separate fees for reconnecting a discontinued service would be found in still a third section dealing with that process. B, a second method is to provide text references to a single set of fee schedules gathered in a single place in the code. There are advantages and disadvantages to both methods. The current ordinances generally adopt the first method. We recommend the second approach, but it's ultimately a board and staff decision, and some guidance from the board and staff as to which is preferred would be helpful. Two, the same issue as the fees issue exists for code violation penalties. Although the growing trend is to have specific penalties in the applicable section and refer to a general penalties section, and the sample sections that I've provided to you take that approach. Please advise if we're on the right track. The next steps would be, after obtaining some guidance from the board, to continue with Title IV to complete the work on the water service provisions. Thereafter, our plan is to proceed with Titles I, General Provisions, and II, Administration and Personnel. Once we've completed those three sections and have them as a whole, we would plan to provide another interim report. We hope to be ready for you to review that by the first meeting in August, and we hope to be back with a completed code by sometime in September. So I'll be happy to entertain any questions you might have, and if somebody's found some typos, I'll take those too. Whatever.
Thank you, Alex. Comments or questions from the board?
I'm very happy to see this coming to fruition. It's been a long, hard go, and just to get it down on paper and begin the process, I think is good. I like the idea of a fee schedule, a fee schedule all together in one area rather than separating it out. The simpler you can make this, the better. I don't feel our ordinances are simple to understand at all. It makes it hard for even an attorney to understand them. So I like the idea of putting a fee schedule and then and referencing it in the text so that people can go to it and say, oh, this is what it will cost if I want to reconnect a service, or this is what it will cost for this kind of activity. We just haven't had that in the past. I haven't looked at others that are out there, other ordinances. I think I have looked at Nipomo's, at their ordinances. So this code violation penalties, I'm not sure how that would play out or how it looks.
You know, it didn't occur to me till just now, but I can provide samples of how at least a couple of the municipalities in the area have handled it. But generally, if there is a specific penalty that they want to apply, which might be kind of a unique penalty because of the nature of the offense, that would be stated in the code section. And then there would be sort of a general omnibus penalty section that says, for any violation.
Question I had was, how do you handle the code changes when these are set out? Do you have an additional point, decimal point out, or
If it is, and you can see as we've organized the code, we've reserved some chapters,
right?
Okay, and
right.
some sections,
yeah.
And so the whole point of doing that is so that we can stick them in between,
I see.
And what would hopefully be logical places.
Okay.
I was responsible for about 5 or 6 years for maintaining the code for Guadalupe. And we developed a system, and it was organized very similarly to this. We developed a system whereby every time a text change was made, a change was made to a document. It was documented a certain way so that if people wanted to be able to go back and find the changes, it was relatively easy to do so.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, the important thing is that once the code gets adopted, anytime a change wants to be made, the way the ordinance reads is section 4.20.01 is hereby amended to read as follows.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a very nice paper trail of what all the changes are, and you don't have to worry about, well, did ordinance 2006.01 delete something that was in ordinance 1998.02?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have no idea.
Yeah, you just have to go look at the code.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Bill, comment?
Alex, I'm impressed. It's a good job so far, and I didn't see any typographical errors, so I don't have any comment on those.
Barbara?
Good job, Alex.
Thank you. Vern?
Thank you for bringing this to us and moving this forward. I'm in agreement that it's fine with having one sheet, a single set of fees, fee schedules gathered in a single place in the code. That's can go along with that recommendation. And that's it.
I would agree that I advise if you're on the right track. I would say yes, definitely you're on the right track. I also support having a single table that has the fee schedules in it. With it seemed to be that the consensus was that we liked the idea of having the staff recommendation that the fee schedule be centralized kind of it in
like
one
okay.
spot. Is
yeah.
that the general consensus of the board?
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like we have a consensus thought on the.
Okay, I would hope to be back. I'm shooting for the first meeting in August, but don't hold me to it.
We understand. We appreciate the progress being made. Is there any public comment on this item? Okay, hearing none. Thank you very much, Alex. Item number 10D, then, moving ahead, is the budget workshop for fiscal year 2008-09. Patrick?
Yeah, Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public. I have three things that I'd like to point out before we get into the staff report itself. The first is that on page 8 of the budget, where it's the appropriation limit, there are some errors in paragraph 2 that need to be corrected. Under it says 2000, page 8, paragraph 2, it says 2002 2007-8 limitation. That's correct. But then the next line, instead of 2005-6, it should be 2008-9 ratio of change. And the next line where it says 2005-6, it should be 2007-8. And the line following that should be 2008-9. And then in addition to that, I have on page 44, there were some statistics for the fire department, but they were not current. I now have current statistics, and I'd just like your permission to insert the most recent 5 years instead of the 5 years that are shown there. And then on following page 85, in the garbage fund, there were no account justifications. I have 3 pages of account justifications which can be added as 85A, B, and C. I'm sorry, 2 pages, 85A and B. And I would like your permission to add those as part of this. None of those affect the dollar amounts in the budget. They're just
an explanation of which
explanation we're doing, right.
Let's see. I have just one question, I think, on the... A couple of questions, I guess, on the reserve statements. On, let's see which page this is. This is the one, Water Department, Restricted Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
On immediately below the center of the page where the double line is, 2 lines from that, it says transfer to litigation.
Mm-hmm.
Is there... On the item up above... There's a transfer from capital improvements to litigation. I didn't see where the transfer came from on this one.
Gina, do you know? Oh, here we go.
This is our Santa Maria groundwater litigation. That's been going on for a number of years now.
I would presume so.
This is just coming from the general water fund, not from one of these specific reserves.
Okay.
So it's just in the water fund, it's like an expense line expense item.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
I think the finance committee met with the general manager for a couple of hours and went page by page, and we worked very hard, and it's an acceptable budget now.
Okay. Yeah, that's correct. I met with the finance committee for a couple of hours. I also met with Directors Dean and Dahl for a little less time than that. And we got very good input from everybody that was involved. I also met with Director Bookout Friday. So I basically met with everybody.
Good. That was one other concern that I had from the last meeting. Right. So I appreciate everyone taking the time to look this over and provide good input for it. I guess my other question on the reserves is the on the sewer reserve, are we carrying the balance forward to 08?
There's a slight negative balance in the sewer reserve that would carry forward to 08. The issue here is that we've charged a lot of staff time and engineering time for working on the earthquake repairs, and those are reimbursable from the county. We just haven't submitted claims yet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So as soon as we submit a claim to get that, we'll get to it fairly soon.
Good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Pamela, if you could speak up a little bit. It's hard for us to hear your comments.
Do we need to do something with our microphones? Because they're right in front of us. I don't know if there's... Do we need some maintenance on them?
I don't know.
What I said was that my concern was that the reserves for the sewer account, the $99,922.46, would be reimbursed when we got the CDBG funds, and that was my question about the sewer reserves.
Okay, and then the unrestricted reserve balance looks like it's yet to be updated.
Is that an admin? We're talking admin.
It's the garbage. I'm sorry, the garbage fund. Looks like it's
okay. Yeah.
If I have the current copy.
Right. And the reserve status is not actually part of the budget, so we'll get you an updated copy of that.
Okay. And okay. I was just looking through to make sure all the corrections got on, and I see one on page 66, line items 171 and 72 at the bottom. The number of district vehicles is inconsistent there, so just noting that one correction. I apologize for not having that earlier.
Yeah, okay. I'll update that.
Okay, but this has been a lot of work, and I appreciate the staff's efforts on it, and again, everyone else for...
I think that we have a good computer system in this moment, and $30,000 is a lot of money. There is a lot of things that needs to be fixed in this town, like, for example, put lighting, fix the streets, clean the streets, and start thinking about computer. The computer that you guys have has been working fine. I believe that. $30,000 at this moment is crazy. Let's think about before we spend that money, okay?
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item? Hearing none, let's bring it back to the board for comment.
To comment on Jeanette's statement, who does our street cleaning? Do we have street cleaners? That's not a service.
No, it's not a district function.
It's the county.
Right. How often do they come out? Because she's mentioning it, and I don't think I...
Two or three times a year for the county, and Caltrans maybe once.
So the county comes out two or three times a year, and
they
the county
don't notify
wants
us. We just happen to observe it. If
they're doing Pier Avenue tomorrow. There's signs down there.
Yeah, I did. I did see Pier Avenue. I saw Phil down there today with the parks doing repairs to the sewer down there. With a great job. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see the county down there on Pier Avenue. So about two or three times a year, Japan. Sure.
Actually, I have not seen anybody going in how we want to clean. And myself, since I like everything to look nice and clean, I clean my corner. I clean that street. I go myself and clean it to make it presentable. And I don't see no one going and cleaning. I know that it's not you guys' responsibility, but seems to me that you guys have money to throw it away. About that money, fix those streets to make it presentable. We get a lot of visitors, and it's embarrassed when I see those people coming to the store and saying it, why this town is dirty?
I appreciate your sentiment on that.
She doesn't get it.
I'll call around.
Maybe find out the last time that they came to Oceano besides Pier Avenue.
Okay.
Might be able to get a schedule from Public Works or the county see if we can get a schedule maybe of when streets were scheduled to be swept so that people would know to move to cars or whatever.
Right. Okay.
We have a contact in the roads department that handles section 4
who happened to be a former Oceano firefighter. So he's easier to get in touch with and might be a good person to speak with.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent.
You're going to call him right now?
I'm going to give you his number right now.
Okay, any other comment or questions from the board on the proposed budget? If not, do we have a motion to proceed and adopt the budget?
I move that we approve the budget for fiscal year 2008-2009.
Second.
That could I ask that it be the budget and the appropriation
and,
limit?
And, yeah. And the appropriations. Okay. And the additions and changes.
So restate your motion.
I move that we approve the budget for fiscal year 2008-2009, that it include the appropriations and that it include the additions and changes that we talked about just now.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we adopt the budget that's been presented with the minor corrections noted and also including the appropriation limit for fiscal year 2008-2009. May I have a roll call, please, Gina?
Director Dean?
Yes.
Vice President Bookout?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
Director Mann?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Okay, moving to item number.
Could we note that that's resolutions 2008-11 and 2008-12?
Okay, do we need to have a separate adoption of the resolution, or those are resolutions?
Alex, do you know? Do we need to?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Moving into report of district representatives, budget for fiscal year 2008-2009, that was probably the major business item. The budget for the sanitation district, I have the proposed budget. I will leave a copy with the general manager for the district office. Anyone is welcome to take a look at that. It's scheduled to be approved on July 2nd at the meeting of July 2nd at the sanitation district. And then the board received a report on the status of the digester number 2 refurbishment work that is proceeding on in good order. So that was the sanitation district meeting. We also had a finance committee meeting, and that was, as just mentioned, to review the budget, and all the suggestions and were incorporated at that time. So, Bill?
Okay. I attended the Fire Oversight Committee meeting. Chief Hubert reported on a commercial structure fire that all the agencies responded to on May 9th at 933 South 4th Street in Grover Beach. Unique situation with this fire. The commercial unit was they made soap in there, and they were able to contain or set a perimeter. So now that would go into our stormwater drain system. Arroyo Grande has a OAS unit, and they're moving it to Grover Beach. This is not part of our unit, but the benefits with this is there will be some training for our firefighters for this unit. And then they've also looking at some out-of-county assignments for the fire department, firefighters, especially like the Indian Fire, you know, things, fire season is coming up. There's some hazmat training. There's a need for the cities to have a ladder truck, and I believe the ladder truck in Arroyo Grande is aging, and replacing of a ladder truck is going to be between $750,000 to $800,000. And they're looking for a grant right now with Quimbley fees for resolution for matching funds. Ultimately coming back for a vote to be extended for 3 years. it's kind of hard not being on the fire committee, going to the fire oversight committee. So what Pamela was saying earlier is very beneficial for
future. Sure you'll take care of that.
And that's it. Greg, you were there. You might have a few extra things to comment on that I didn't quite get across.
Pretty much covered most of everything. One additional thing with the OES engine that's stationed at Arroyo Grande, they're not able to move that in between Grover and Arroyo at this point. They're still having financial issues with the state because it's a state-owned engine. And just for your information, right now that engine is up at the Indians Fire with a crew from Arroyo Grande. And there have been numerous requests coming through this county for more engines to head up there. And the chiefs have decided that right now at our current staffing level and whatnot, that we're not able to send another unit in between the three departments because we already have one up there. Also today I found out that I was appointed to a committee to oversee the help oversee the grants looking into purchasing a joint truck. It's made up of four people, one from myself from here and two from Arroyo Grande and one from Grover. That was pretty much, joint purchasing committees, we gave a report on that, whereas the Arroyo Grande Fire Department has just put out four sets of the joint purchasing spec of our new turnout gear. We got together and basically decided on a spec that is of almost equivalent cost of what everyone had now that would work for all of us. That way we can intermingle our equipment if need be. They've ordered four. We've ordered one set so far. They should be here within a couple of months. And they're also working on new saws, different types of chainsaws or circular saws.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. Vern?
Yes, there's been a number of meetings this since the last board meeting. They have a new location, which is at 229 Stanley Avenue and in Arroyo Grande, and they're having an open house at 11 a.m. this coming Saturday, June 28th. And then the Sand Canyon flat gates that I talked about two meetings ago now for us have been ordered, and they were ordered in the end of May, and it takes about 6 to 8 weeks for delivery, and they expect to have those installed by the end of August. The type of flap gate is called a rubber duck bill, and it's a better style, allowing even the smallest amounts of water to leave the lagoon area and will not allow any water to go back into the lagoon from the creek. The supervisors have approved the contract with the Morrow Group to manage the work on the waterway. Since that's been approved, they had a kickoff meeting today. And then in the creek itself, got a little bit of a update on some of the stuff going on in there. The Coastal Commission Coastal Development Permit waiver application was submitted on May 29th. The project description and attachments are available on the RCD website, which is www.coastalrcd.org/2008veg. And the Slo County Department of Planning and Building completed the required Appendix B local agency review form of the coastal development permit waiver application and submitted it to the Coastal Commission, so that's in the process now. A site meeting in the creek was scheduled for July 8th with the California Conservation Corps to review vegetation work strategy. On June 18th, two local biologists, provided a one-day and night class for to four members of the San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria California Conservation Corps crews so they can act as the red-legged frog monitors during the vegetation work. And this is one of the things that that the Seas are going to be doing for the zone, which is going to save the zone quite a bit of money as opposed to having to hire this out. During the evening, one of the biologists notified the RCD and the local district biologist of the station that monitors this. Looked at it to be relocated. They're supposed to relocate, trying to get permission to relocate any steelhead trout that might be seen or might be distressed. There was a meeting with in the creek on June 19th to show these steelhead to the biologist. And the state parks fishery biologist was there as well. Unfortunately, water levels clearly had dropped significantly during the day, likely due to the record heat, leading to increased evaporation and or groundwater pumping, as was apparent by the still wet mud near the remaining ponded area. The increased temperatures and decreased water levels resulted in kill of all the large fish in the pond and most of the young of the year. I've got some photos of that if anybody's interested. They collected seven dead steelhead trout, all approximately 24 inches long or longer. One of them looked like it was up to 30 inches, I'd say. In addition, there were 20 to 30 dead suckers, plus hundreds and hundreds of dead young steelhead of the year. Then on Friday, June 20th, the state parks biologist in their quarterly fish surveys of the lagoon and adjacent Arroyo Grande Creek, they surveyed it. During the survey, the group found several 10-inch steelhead trout in lagoon, 10 inches or longer. There were several found below the Guyton Crossing. They went back to the site that the large fish had died at and found several more dead steelhead. 25-plus inch steelhead was, as the pool had completely dried up.
Oh, wow. We got it.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The next two meetings are going to be held on July 22nd and August 19th, right here at the district boardroom. And that's the Zone 11A report. And then the ad hoc committee we did during the meeting. And then today I also attended the Airport Land Use Commission meeting. And there was a fairly long discussion on part of the Orchid Area specific plan around the San Luis Obispo Airport, and there's a site there that that's open for a school to be put in, and there's a lot of questions about that. The school board is a superior agency to the city or to the Airport Land Use Commission, so they may be able to do what they want there regardless of what happens with at the Airport Land Use Commission. The next meeting was for the Airport Land Use Commission is going to be July 16th at 1:30 p.m. at the County Board of Supervisors Chambers. At the end of the meeting, Terry Horton announced that I will be his alternate for the Airport Land Use Commission at this point.
Good. Thank you, Vern.
Thank you.
Pamela?
I have nothing.
Okay, Barbara?
You already reported on the fire and the finance, so I have nothing to add.
Okay. Comment or questions from the board on the staff reports?
Yeah, Vern. On the salmon, or the steelhead in the creek, the depth of the creek, if it was, I know we're working on removing the sedimentation in there, but is that having a big factor on the heat? The salmon aren't able to get to deeper water?
The salmon aren't able to get out to the deeper water. Part of that was is the sandbar developed about a month earlier this year than it has in the past. And between that and you've got the beaver dams that are there, and the beaver dams cause these pools to, with the vegetation growth that has happened over the, you know, over time, you've got, you know, these cooler areas, these shaded areas where they're able to have, you know, what they recognize as habitat, as opposed to just a stream to have to swim up to habitat. So you're getting them spawning, you know, at much lower, which is good because that means that many more are going to get out to the ocean. But this year was, you know, you had two things going on here. You've got that unusually hot spell that we've just had that literally just dried up the creeks rather quickly. The heat, heat pulled out a lot, and then the farmers were pumping so heavily that even they were running out of water. There was some of the farmers were saying that they were literally having to choose between one field and the other, you know, which one are we going to water and which one is going to get burned up by the heat. And so when you have that amount of pumping and then that heat, and they need a cooler water to survive in, there was just a tremendous amount of kill off, and you know, some of the ponds just completely dried up. And so if it literally was from one day to the next, there was enough room for them to be swimming in, and then it got so hot that they died, and the water dropped so much that the fish, if you take a look at the pictures, and let me go ahead and pass that around to you guys so you can see it, they're a foot, 2 feet away from the water, from the edge of the water, because they died in the pond and the water level dropped so much that they were that far away from the water, just from the evaporation and the water being drawn down in the ground. But you can see that one fish there. That person holding that fish is over 6 feet tall, and that fish is, you know, almost half his height.
Wow, that's amazing pictures.
Yeah. I was kind of amazed the number of us that there were fish that large in what little bit of water there is in that creek.
Mm-hmm. Other comment or questions from the board? Is the Resource Conservation District is still kind of managing the vegetation?
First kickoff meeting for that happened today.
Good. Is there public comment or questions on the staff report? Okay, hearing none. Move on to item number 12, general manager items for discussion. Patrick?
I have a couple items. The financial audit for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2007 is going to be conducted the week beginning July the 21st. California Special District Association Annual Conference is scheduled for September the 22nd through the 25th. That happens to fall during a week of a regularly scheduled board meeting, so we need to at some point in time discuss if we're going to have that board meeting or if enough members are going to want to go to the conference that we'd have to reschedule that meeting. And the CSDA annual election is on July the 11th for the local chapter, is on July the 11th in Avila from 6 until 8:30. There are four offices that will be elected, president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer. So if anybody would like to be in one of those positions, you need to submit an application. And that's open to the board and to staff. Those positions are open to both. And we also need to get an RSVP of those of you who are going to be attending. That's it.
Okay. Comment, questions? Comment or questions from the public? Okay, hearing none brings us to item number 13, board member items for discussion. Start again with Pamela.
I have nothing.
Bill?
Nothing.
Vern? Barbara?
I have two things. Our general manager mentioned the CSD annual meeting in September, and I personally can't justify us spending the money or funds for this due to our budget restraints this year. Although I'm sure that Pamela and I would especially benefit from this conference because we are not up for re-election this November, I still can't bring myself to put my name down to go. That's my first thing. And the second thing, I may have been asleep, but the other day I came home on 22nd Street. The speed limit's now 25 miles an hour. All of a sudden, the signs were just there, and it's a designated bike lane.
For at least our staff to go to that.
I have one comment, which is, could we possibly bring consideration of mileage reimbursement for out of the district meetings that the members attend, such as airport land use that's usually held in San Luis?
Mm-hmm.
If we could bring a business item
for the agenda
to the agenda to see if we can reimburse mileage for that.
Yeah, I think to San Luis and back, the rate now is about $15, I think, isn't it? Was that?
It's 50. Yeah,
58. Yeah, and it, you know, it comes close to $15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is there any public comment on the discussion?
Jeanette, I just want to say about the changes that I believe Pamela, Bill, and Vern want to do. Why you guys don't start thinking for a second and do all those changes until December for the first meeting? I don't think that'd be fair to do it now. Elections are coming. Some of you maybe are not going to come back. In based of what I've been hearing, some are not going to come back. That means I don't think that is the change in this moment. I don't think that will be appropriate to do it. I believe before, all of you have agreed in doing it until December. About Vern, I want to say that I am very disappointed about you. And don't forget, elections are coming, and I'm going to do my best to go and work on those elections. And be sure that the people that are coming back, they're going to come back because they're going to be doing good for Oceano, not good for you guys. And please stop being so petty. To Mr. Hill, where's my paper now? Please do not resign. We single day what they feel about you, about some of the members of the board. Please do not quit. Do not let these people to do what they want to do. Enough of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment? Okay, hearing none. Brings us to the warrants. I think we were only given the warrants a few minutes before the meeting. I tend to be reluctant to vote on the warrants with such short lead time. Yes.
Has anyone had to abstain if we vote because I didn't look at them.
Has anyone had a chance to look at the warrants over in detail? I have not.
Nobody's read them.
But I think if that's the case, then what we need to do is we need to find out which ones, if there's any in here that need to be looked at the meeting. They can't wait until the next meeting. If there's anything that needs to be taken care of.
Now, the other option is we could go through each one, and if you have quite, we could tell you what it is.
Here's sitting over here, Gina.
You know, I think, you know, we should take the time here, and we've got time. We can look through them, and we can approve this tonight.
Sure.
I mean, it might take us 20 minutes. I've read through them. I got them at 6 o'clock, and I looked through them. So if we take the time, if there's questions, let's work through it.
Take a break and look through them too. Whatever the board feels is fine.
Let's take then 15 minutes. According to the clock, that would be 20 minutes to 9. We'll take a recess until that time to look over the warrants. Okay, we'll reconvene, and we've looked at the warrants. So are there, first of all, comments or questions on the warrants from the board?
I just noticed that we have two new defibrillators at the fire department, and they're half the cost of what they used to be, is what Craig said. So the
automatic clearinghouse payroll tax warrants, the method of entering them, they are paid online, with the exception of the one to the employees' voluntary participation in First Nationwide PEPSCO 457 plan, and the one to county pension. And when I was out for a while and then we were short-staffed, we didn't enter these on a regular basis. Now they're all caught up.
Thank you.
It seemed like we had a lot of overtime in the fire department. Is there a reason for so much overtime?
Do we have more than normal? I don't believe so.
Every third rotation we go through, we do get a mandatory overtime. Basically, any time we're working a weekend, that's an overtime shift, just because of the way our schedule falls into place. Now, I know Captain Bova did take two vacation days this past week. I don't think that would have reflected on this last week.
No. I believe one was about $800 and one was $1,000 in overtime.
Is that the typical overtime?
Yeah, that sounds about right for our regular rotations.
More staffing, would that help?
No.
So we're doing good with what we have.
Right.
Okay.
It's just the way the shifts are set up. We only have, you know, we only have three full-time fire captains, and there's FLSA rules that say if you work over X number of hours in a 28-day period, then you get overtime for it. And you can't. We could hire an additional fire captain and do away with overtime, but it costs us a whole lot more to have that extra fire captain. It's just not reasonable.
Okay.
That needs to be voided, and that's the one on page 28 to Central City Tree Service. It's for an incorrect amount, and the replacement warrant will be on the next register.
Okay. Central City Tree Service, that's the last one on page 28.
What's the check number?
Check number, if it's 46579.
Are these the cutting down the pine trees out in front of our district office?
What is the correct amount for that?
$1,650.
Oh, okay.
Specific areas of TVing for us in connection with the project.
Okay. And that's basically the earthquake repair kind.
Right.
All right, is there any public comment on the warrants? Hearing none,
I move we pay the bills as presented.
Second.
It's been moved in second that we approve the warrants as presented with the correction noted to on the tree removal. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Last public comment? Hearing none. Is there any written communication?
There is none.
Okay. Then with that, we are adjourned.